James chapter number 2 and verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Brother Adam, would you pray? Yes, Lord. Help me, Lord. Yes. God help. Oh, Lord. God bless him. Yes. Lord, help us. Amen. I'm interested in this thought here, the friend of God. Abraham was given that title. He's the only man out of the Word of God that's given the title or the compliment, the friend of God. And you notice in this verse, the Bible says that Abraham believed God. It was imputed unto him for righteousness. Notice Abraham didn't just believe in God, he believed God. There's a lot of folks that believe in God, but they really hadn't ever believed Him as looking at the Word of God and applying it to their life. It's very important that we believe God and know what God has to say to us out of the Word of God. And Abraham, the friend of God, I wonder tonight, could we be God's friend? Wonder what He thinks when He looks at our life. And, you know, there's very few friends that a person will have in life that he can really depend on and really call a true friend. I believe God would be honored if we do our best to try to be the friend of God and apply the Word of God to our life. You see, Abraham, he believed God and he was obedient to God. What word and what revelation God gave him, he applied it to his life and he lived by it. And he looked forward to the promises of God. And, you know, that's what our life ought to be characteristic of, a person that believes God and applies the Word of God to our life and tries to look with a hope, friend, of what God has promised us out of the Word of God. I tell you, this old life down here is short, and we're soon all going to meet God, and we better be getting things done. If we're going to ever do anything for the Lord, we better be getting it done right now. But I want to focus tonight on the friend of God, and let's just look. Let's look back over in the book of John, chapter number 15. You might think, well, Abraham lived a few thousand years ago, but let's look what Jesus said about you and me in John chapter 15. He said in verse number 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now look at this verse. He said, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." It's very important in our lives that we apply the Word of God to our life and try to walk with God and try to live our life pleasing to Him. And I wonder one day when we stand before Him, I wonder if He'll say, "Well, you've been a friend to me, and I appreciate the work you did down on this old earth when you were there." Listen to me, friend. I want us to look back in the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, and let's look at Abraham's life. You might say, "Well, what can I do to try to be a friend to God?" Let's look at Abraham. He's a man that was given that title, and let's look at some characteristics that he had in his life as he was called a friend of God. In Genesis chapter number 18, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared unto him speaking of Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I'll fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. They said, So do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetch a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I'll just stop reading right there. We'll talk some more about the rest of this story in a little bit. But I want you to notice about three or four things about Abraham's life right here. And I think it was characteristic of him, of the Bible or the Lord, giving him the title of being a friend of God. First of all, I want you to notice he had a Christ-like hospitality about him. I tell you what, friends, if we're going to be a church that God is pleased with, we need to have Christian hospitality. There's a lot of visitors that comes in and out of Liberty Baptist Church, and I believe God is not pleased with us if we're not friendly. I tell you, we ought to represent Christ, and we ought to be friendly to folks that come in and out of this place right here. We don't know what brings them in here. We don't know what trouble they might be going through. We don't know what need they might have in their life. But I tell you what we can do. We can stick out a hand of friendship to them. We can invite them to come back again. Hey, we can do a lot of things if we'll just apply ourselves to it. We ought to have a Christ-like hospitality about us. If you notice right here, there was an arrival of strangers. An arrival of strangers down at Abraham's tent. Hey, there's strangers. There's folks we don't know that's coming in and out of here. You don't look at somebody and say, well, I don't know them. I ain't going to speak to them. We ought to be a Christ-like person. Jesus never met a stranger, did he? He was friendly. Hey, he was a friend of sinners. I'm glad he was a friend of sinners, because he come by my way one day and he saved my wretched soul from hell. There was an arrival of strangers. No doubt they was weary. It was in the heat of the day. Hey, they came to Abraham's tent. They was weary. They was welcome. And they was washed there that day. And we ought to see about the needs of people. We're going to be Christ-like, have Christian hospitality. We ought to apply that in our lives down at the church house. Not only at the church house, down at our house. Amen? And Abraham was at his tent there, and he welcomed these strangers as he saw them come, and he run out to meet them. And we ought to have that kind of attitude in our life. An arrival of strangers, and then there's an announcement of servitude right here in verse number 3. He said, My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant. Now, Abraham was a man that had hundreds of servants. Abraham, he was head of the house down there. He was the big man down there at his house. But when he recognized the Lord right here, friend, he said, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. I'm your servant. And we're the Lord's servants. If he saved us from a devil's hell, we're a child of God. We're to serve him. Amen? And we're to make ourselves available for service to him. Is that right? Amen. I mean, he just bought us with a price, didn't he? Saved our soul from hell. And we ought to be the kind of servant right here that Abraham was. He said, Pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Abraham was saying, Lord, I want to do something for you while you're here at my house. Ought to be our attitude when we come to the Lord's house. Ought to be our attitude. Hey, he ever show up down at your house? Amen. If he's welcome, he'll show up down at your house. We ought to serve him not just at the church house. We ought to serve him down at our house. We ought to serve Him everywhere we go. We ought to be our attitude, an announcement of servitude. You see, Christ, if we're going to have Christ-like hospitality and we're going to be a servant of the Lord, then we ought to just pattern ourselves after Christ. The Bible says He took upon Himself the form of a servant over in Philippians chapter 2, don't it? Amen. Hey, I'm talking about the God of heaven. The King of glory came to earth. He took upon Himself the form of a man and a servant. A servant. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for you and for me. Boy, I'm telling you, Christ-like hospitality is something we need in our life. In Colossians 3 and 23, the Bible tells us that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. You see, when we go and if the Lord lays something on our heart to go and do something for a brother or a sister or even a stranger that we meet, friend, we ought to have the attitude that we're doing it for Christ. We're doing it for Christ. Hey, that's what He would have us to do. You see, hey, He wants to use your feet. He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your mind. He wants to use everything about you. And we can put ourselves into action, friend, if we're filled with God and we're going through life wanting to serve Him, friend. He wants to use us. And if you'll get this mentality, when I do something, I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it for the Lord. If He tells you to pray for somebody, you're doing it for the Lord. If He tells you to give somebody something, do it for the Lord. Hey, let me tell you, there's a blessing right there. And I guarantee you, He's a watcher. He's keeping record of all the things that we do in serving Him. There's an applause right here, I notice, of service. In verse number 5, in the latter part of that, Abraham tells him, I'll fetch a morsel of bread, comfort your hearts after that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. There's an applause for service right there. The Lord said, do it then. You want to do something for me? Do it. Do it. Hey, I believe He applauds everything you do for Him. Hey, if you lift your hands and praise Him, if you pray for somebody else, if you offer your hand of love and help to somebody else, friend, I believe the Lord is happy. I believe He's overjoyed with your sacrifice and your service, friend. Notice this. In this Christ-like hospitality, there was also not only the arrival of strangers, the announcement of servitude, the applause of service, but notice Abraham and his sacrifice. Sacrifice. Well, we don't like the word sacrifice, do we? We want to cling on to everything that God's blessed us with. Notice what Abraham did right here in his sacrifice. Verse number 6 says, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Fine meal. He wanted to give God the best he had. He said, fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. He ran into the herd and fetched a calf, not that old scraggly calf he had out there, but he fetched one that was tender and good. He picked out the best calf I believe he had out there in the pasture because the Lord was in the house and he wanted to sacrifice and give it to Him. Hey, he said he took butter and milk in the calf, dressed it, set it before them. And they did eat his sacrifice. You giving Him the best you got? Really, I want you to examine yourself right now. Are you giving the Lord the best of your life? The best years of your life? The strength of your life? Even money? He said to bring to the storehouse of the Lord, didn't He? Amen. Are you giving Him your best? Can I remind you He gave you His best? Let me ask you. Where would you be without Christ? You'd be hell-bound without a hope in the world. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, hey, God gave you His very best. We ought to have Christ-like hospitality. Not only that, but we ought to have Christ-like humility. Humility. Now, humility is not something that man teaches you. Man teaches you to be proud. Man teaches you to be tough. Man teaches you to be hard-hearted. But listen, friend, God teaches us to be humble. Humble. Christ-like humility. Christ humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Bible says. James 4 and 10 tells us to humble ourselves that Christ might exalt us in due season. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, what does that say? What does that say? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. Friend, listen, there's a verse right there that tells us that humility unlocks God's blessings. Oh, America could be blessed again if America would just apply God's Word. Well, listen to me, friend. Look at Isaiah 57 and 15. You might not have this marked, but I want you to mark it in your Bible if you don't have it marked already. Isaiah 57 and 15 says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." Here's what he said now. "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Another reason for being humble, it guarantees you the presence of God. He said, "I'll dwell with you if you'll just be humble and contrite." We ought to be humble people, shouldn't we? Hey, you better watch that pride. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Listen, this Christ-like humility, when Abraham saw the men that came, the three men that appeared there that day, the Bible says he ran and he bowed himself toward the ground. That's an expression of humility. Not only that, but he submitted himself when he said, "My Lord, my Lord." That's an expression of humble humility and of humbly submitting to the Lord. And then notice Abraham's steadfastness in this humility. In verse 8, the Bible says this, "He took the butter, the milk, the calf which he dressed, set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat." Hey, he didn't just hand it to them and then run off, did he? He was steadfast in his humility. Hey, I know what he was doing. He was standing there to see if there was something else he could do for his Lord. We ought to be steadfast in our service for God. We ought to be humble servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be available to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you available? Well, I'm afraid the average Christian today, we want somebody else to serve. You know, we got a lot of spectators, but not a whole lot of participators. Amen? God is looking for some participators. We ought to have Christ-like hospitality. We ought to have Christ-like humility. Notice in Genesis 18 and 27 what Abraham said. Abraham answered and said, "Behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." Abraham didn't think too highly of himself. Though he was a great man, though he's classified as a friend of God, he said, "I'm just dust and ashes." Boy, if we could just humble ourselves, if we could get that humble and offer ourselves in service to the Lord, there's no telling what he could do with you and with me. Christ-like hospitality, Christ-like humility, but notice his compassionate heart. His compassionate heart. If I were to ask you, do you have a compassionate heart for others? I ain't talking about for just somebody in your family. You got compassion on somebody you don't even know? Have you got compassion on the old drunk down the street, the drug addict? Have you got a compassionate heart? Examine yourself right now. I want to ask you that question. First of all, Abraham, he had a compassionate heart, no doubt. Look in verse number 16. The men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now I want you to notice, Abraham, through a compassionate heart, was motivated or moved in his life, in his lifestyle, to influence others. Now listen, if we've got a compassionate heart, and if we apply the things that God would have us to do, we can influence others. Notice what God said about Abraham in this next verse. "For I know him, that he will command his children." Listen now. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." God said, "I know him." Wonder what he knows about you. Now, I can hide things from you. You can hide things from me. But God knows our heart. God said, "I know Abraham. He's going to raise his children right. He's going to raise his whole household, all his servants and all their children and all their families." God said that he's going to train them. He's going to teach them. "And they shall keep the way of the Lord." Wonder what he'd say about me and you, about Liberty Baptist Church. God's given us a great responsibility here. Them little old kids that come down here on Sunday morning putting their money in that bucket, God has given you and me a responsibility to these kids. God wants us to raise them up. He doesn't want us to compromise. Not compromise this book. Not to compromise the way of salvation, friend. And there's a lot of churches and a lot of preachers that's compromised and gone the way of the world in the day at which we live. But God said, "I know Abraham. I know he'll keep the way of the Lord." We better keep it, friend, because we'll stand in judgment one of these days before God. We better not let this thing go down the tubes in the way of this old world. We better stand in the old paths, in the old ways. I don't care who wants to mock us, who wants to label us as fanatics or old-fashioned or whatever, friend. God started this thing, and I believe we ought to just go with God, don't you? Amen. Just stay with the book. Stay with the book. Abraham had a compassionate heart. And through his compassionate heart, he was motivated and able to influence others. Not only this compassionate heart right here that he had, friend, to influence, but he was moved, friend, by an indictment. He was moved by an indictment. You see what the Lord said? He said, "I ain't going to hide from Abraham what I'm about to do." God was fixing to go down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. If you read on, you'll see that. And when Abraham heard that, it broke his heart. It broke his heart. They were a great city, great cities of the plain. God was fixing to rain fire and brimstone upon them and destroy them. And so Abraham was moved by this indictment. In verse 20, through 22, it says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will now go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up, or which has come unto me. And if not, I'll know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. Look, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. He was fixing to do something right here. See, he was moved by this indictment. of all the wicked sinners over in Sodom. God labeled them as wicked. He labeled them as sinners. And Abraham had a nephew over there by the name of Lot. And he began to plead. Look what he said. Abraham drew near and said, "Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" You see, not only was he motivated to influence others, he was moved by the indictment, but he was also moved to intercede. Wonder, when's the last time you really, really got on your face before God and agonized, not for your wants and your needs, but for somebody else? Think about that now. Most of the time when we pray, we're praying for me, me, me. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. Lord, help me. Well, what about others? What about others? Abraham, in his compassionate heart, he was moved to intercede for others. I'm talking about inexhaustible praying. I'm talking about agonizing with God for somebody else. You see, it made a difference when Abraham began to intercede with God. He said, "Preadventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein?" God said, "Okay, I won't." He said, "I'll spare it." And Abraham got to thinking, maybe there ain't that many over there. He said, "How about for 45? God said, "I'll do that too." "Well, how about 40, Lord?" "I'll do that." He said, "Well, maybe for 30, Lord, would you spare it for 30? He said, "Yeah." "Lord, would you spare it for 20? Said, "Yes." Then he got down to 10. And he thought, surely, Lot has got over there and been a witness, and surely Lot's got all his family in safe. And so that's where it was left at, for 10 righteous, but there wasn't that many over there. Abraham barely got out, or rather Lot barely got out of that place before fire and brimstone rained down from heaven upon that place. But there were some that did get out because of Abraham's intercession. Listen, friend. We've got loved ones. If I ask for a show of hands in here, have you got any lost loved ones? Every hand in this house would probably raise. When's the last time you agonized for them? When's the last time you interceded for them? God, He honors intercessory prayer. He proved it right here in this passage right here. He honors prayer. And listen, if somebody perishes in our family, listen real carefully to me. If we've got a lost loved one that dies and goes to hell, it ought not to be because we failed to pray for them. It ought not to be because we failed to pray for them and agonize and intercede before God for them, that He would convict them and draw them and give them a chance at salvation. God help us that we don't stand before God one day and have Him say, "Well, why didn't you pray?" I honor intercessory prayer. What a shame that would be for us to call ourselves Christians and not have a compassionate heart. Abraham, the friend of God, he had a Christ-like hospitality. He had Christ-like humility. He had a compassionate heart. And he became a channel of hope. A channel of hope. You see, God had made some promises to Abraham. Abraham believed God. And he believed that God would keep every word that He ever promised him. If we believe God, I'm just about through now. If we believe God, if we apply the Word of God in our lives, if we share the Word of God with lost people, if we share that Word, we can be that channel of hope. Not everybody's going to show up Sunday morning at church. Hey, I've got lost loved ones, friend, that's never even been to church unless there's a funeral. That's sad. Sad. They ain't going to come to church more than likely. But listen, I can intercede. I can witness to them. I mean, the gospel, God is so strange to so many people, friend. There's kids today out in this world that's never darkened the door of a church. They have no idea, who Jesus is, what Jesus done for them. They don't have any idea. But we, if we're going to be the friend of God, God wants us to be a channel of hope to a lost and dying world. You never know. You never know how their heart is and how hungry they might be for some hope in their life. We can be that channel of hope, can't we? Amen. I hope tonight, one day, that we can be a friend of God in some way, in some avenue in our life, if we'll just be faithful. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.